And please take your seats. And if you have your Bible this morning, if you remember what we were ministering on last week, the Lord showed us from his word that there were certain reasons that God brought his blessing into certain churches. There were certain reasons that one church got a particular prayer from the Holy Spirit and another church didn't. Amen. If you read the book of Galatians, the Spirit of God doesn't pray for anyone at all in the church of Galatia. In fact, he starts by kicking their backside and continues kicking their backside all the way through until he then digs out some revelation that will help them on their way and then leaves them with a blessing. But the church at Ephesus is very different. He starts, he says, having heard of what? The love that you have, your faith towards God and your love for all the saints, I pray. So there's a reason why God is doing certain things in some places and why he's not doing certain things in others. And I don't know about you. I want to be in the forefront of the blessing. I want to be like surrounded by it, abounding in it. What does the Bible say? Steadfast and always abounding. Praise God. I want us to be that way. How many of you like to be that way? Am I in the right place this morning? Any of you not putting up your hands, you are a suspect. We have a mission. We have a mandate. And you know, one of the great things about the blessing of God, the favor of God, that's the thing that empowers us to fulfill our mandate. Can you say amen? And I want to run this race. I want to run it long. I want to finish strong. I want us to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers, and literally just on top. Even if the world is underneath, then we should be the ones on top in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the Spirit of God prays this for the church at Ephesus. And then as the Holy Spirit carries on ministering from that Ephesians 1 prayer, he goes in Ephesians 3, he goes into another prayer. I mean, he's praying double for the church at Ephesus, right? And he says, I bow my knee before the Father of glory that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may come to comprehend together with all the saints what is the height, the length, the depth, and the breadth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And then he says, and to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in the saints to all generations, a world without end. Hallelujah. That's Ephesians 3 verse 14 somewhere to 21, something like that. So the Spirit of God prays twice for the church at Ephesus. And one of the great things, I said it last week, but I believe it bears repetition. One of the great things about these standing prayers that the Spirit of God prays for the church is that anytime we pray them, we are praying along with the will of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, there's a clear distinction, there's a clear definition in Scripture that talks about praying with the Spirit and praying with the understanding. Right? He says, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So there's a clear definition between what we would call the world of the supernatural, the tongues world, which is the gateway, by the way, into the supernatural, which is why it's important for every man, woman, and child to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives us guidance and direction. Can you say amen? Very, very important. But then, you see, we can open the Word of God because the Bible says that all Scripture is inspired of God. And when you look up that word in the Greek, it's literally God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Isn't that wonderful? So that thing on our lap is the manifestation of the breath of the Almighty. Wow. So we need to give it the credence. We need to give it the level of respect that it deserves. And I don't mean that we suddenly, you know, we start smooching our Bible and kissing it and all sorts of things and, you know, like give it a nice patty cake cover. No, I mean put it to work in our lives. Take what the Holy Spirit has given to us and let it be in us and let it come out of us and let it determine the course of our lives. Hallelujah to Jesus. So the Spirit of God puts us on this journey, like we recapped from last week. And then we looked at the book of Colossians, the same thing. Having heard of your love towards God, and your faith towards God and your love for all the saints, I cease not to pray, he says. So there is something that when the Spirit of God senses faith towards him from his people and love for all the brethren, the Holy Spirit prays then for us ceaselessly. And he gives us in the word what he's praying ceaselessly for. Isn't that wonderful? So we've got Ephesians 1, we've got Ephesians 3, we've got Colossians 1, we've got 2 Thessalonians 1, which is the fourth prayer that the Holy Spirit prays for the church along the lines of having heard of your faith towards God and your love for all the saints. If you didn't hear my message last week, then do either get the tape or just go on YouTube or Podomatic or any of those. Thank God for the Word of God being broadcast live. Isn't it wonderful? Just such a joy. And it would be important that you recap that word as well, because this word will make a lot more sense once you understand what I ministered on last week, because this is like a continuation of the thing. So 2 Thessalonians 1 is a continuation of that, right? And then we looked at Philemon, verse 6. There's only one chapter, so we call it Philemon 6. And Philemon 6, he says this. He says, having heard of your love towards God, your faith towards God and your love for all the saints, don't cease to pray again. And he talks about that the sharing of your faith may become full of power to achieve results by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in us by Christ Jesus. So he's talking about the effective energizing of our faith to do something. It's full of power to achieve results. If your faith hasn't had any results, then that Philemon 6 prayer is a good place to start. Because God doesn't want us fruitless. Amen. What does it say concerning in 2 Peter 1? It says, by his own glory and virtue, he said he's given all things to us which pertain to life and godliness. And then he gives us 8 characteristics. And he says, if these things are in you, they will neither render you fruitless nor, worthless nor fruitless or something like that in the knowledge of God. So there's something that God wants us to be fruitful in his knowledge. He wants us to bear fruit. What is the fruit of the gospel? Salvation, healing, prosperity, ambassadorship. All these 4 things, they belong to us. This is almost like a recap of the year that I'm doing right now. But so that's 5 prayers in total. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, and Philemon 6, that the Spirit of God has prayed for the body of Christ for the exact same reason. But now I want to go somewhere different. Because there's one prayer that the Spirit of God, through Paul, prays for the church at Philippi, which is a completely different reason. Completely different reason. And I looked and I thought, wow, I said, 5 of these prayers are based on faith and love. 5 of these prayers, you could say this, that the Holy Spirit opened the vaults of heaven and gave this revelation because of these various churches, 4 churches or individuals in all, reaching to God in the realm of love and in the realm of faith. And then this church at Philippi, it just appears at a different one. And this is what I want us to get into this morning. I really want to encourage you, because if 2017 is a year of expansion, then I want us to expand in this level also. And you see, here's the problem, right? The body of Christ has been discredited by greed. It has been discredited by avarice, if you like, the love of money, okay? To the extent that it's very difficult for a modern day 21st century church to prosper without it being tagged as greedy. It's very difficult for a pastor to minister to his sheep without his sheep either thinking one of 2 things: he's greedy or he's broke. And thank God I'm neither. By God's grace, if I was greedy, I would never have taken, who on earth would take a 60% pay cut to go into ministry to minister to the extent where, like, what, in 2 weeks ago was the 20th anniversary of me being in ministry. And I'm only earning 10% more than I was 20 years ago. Now, if that was greed, then I am Pope John Paul II. Right? I mean, it's crazy, right? My wife, when she went into full-time ministry, took an 80% pay cut. So if you thought I was crazy, then she's double crazy. So there's absolutely no way at all that what we are teaching here could be teaching for our increase, right? In the spirit, it's for our increase, because I can say amen to my message just as well as you can to get there. Do you see what I mean? And I want you there. If we're going to expand in 2017, I want us to expand financially as well. Yes. I want your businesses to do well. Yes. I want every single person in this house to do well. In fact, you know what? In 3 John 2, let me just take this little detour, because 3 John 2 is the 7th prayer that the Holy Spirit prays for the body of Christ. And he says this, he says, "Beloved, I pray, or I wish above all things, that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers," right? So prosperity there, that's financial prosperity. Yeah. Health there is physical, mental, and spiritual prosperity, just as your soul prospers. So we would say that there's something, there's a key that can be turned, and it starts with the prosperity of our soul. As our souls are prospering on the inside, then we should financially prosper on the outside. We should be in health on the outside if we're truly prospering in the way that God is calling us to prosper. Yes. Amen. 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 So I want us to look here, because Philippians chapter 1 and verse, you know what, while we're finding this verse, does anyone recognize this song? Hang on. Anyone recognize that song? Anto, where's it from, Anto? Come on, man, tell me.
Jerry Maguire.
Show me them. You don't know that film? You guys are too Christian for words, man. Gosh, you need to come and see my video collection. How many of you have never seen Jerry Maguire? Just put up your hand right now. We might have to show that film one day. Lord have mercy. Show me the money. Okay. Philippians 1, if you haven't found it now, just forget it. Philippians 1, verse 3. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God. Now remember, guys, as we're reading this, that this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul to the church at Philippi. Right? I thank my God in all remembrance of you. Verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you. Why are you praying? If this is the Holy Spirit, through Paul, ministering to the church at Philippi. Do you remember what we talked about in the last, that like 5 out of the 7 is in view of your love for all the saints and your faith towards God? Well, this one here is in view of your participation. If you look at that word there, that Greek word, it's the word partnership. 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 In view of your participation or your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, let's go to verse number 9. Oh, in fact, look at verse number 6. Let's start there. Because he starts off by saying, in view of your partnership, I'm thanking God for you. Why? In view of your partnership. It's like I teach about the anointing. You know, in Isaiah 61, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Well, why is he upon me and not on him? Why is he upon me and not on her? Because he has anointed me. So the anointing is the magnetic element that draws the Spirit of God to a particular person to activate their ministry more so than another, right? So this is the why for here. There's something about following the why. There's something about understanding the why. Why would there be something happening in the life of brother so-and-so here or sister so-and-so there and not in brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so over there? And sometimes it works this way. It's like, it's one of them things, right? Where you'd have somebody, they're struggling in their physical body. They're struggling in their finances. They love God. They're working hard in the ministry. The moment the doors are open, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like just they can't break through in one particular area. And it's like, Lord, why? What's the situation? What's going on? But, you know, my brother and sister, there's always a reason. And the reason is the thing that causes the unlock. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That there's a way to unlock these things if you don't settle for anything less than the full blessing of God. If you take it like, oh, well, this is the way life has for me, and, you know, I don't care too much for this, or I don't care too much for that. You know, if I get sick, we've got medical doctors. If I'm broke, then there's social services and what do they call it? Benefits. Whoever called them benefits, dude, I mean, you know, hey. Like, fine, if you want to live that way, live that way. There's a place in N15 for you. I've been there. I've vacated it. I want to push some of you into believing God for your prosperity. I mean, some people, it's like, oh, no, que sera, sera. Whatever happens will happen. Whatever will be, will be. Dude, you've not read your Bible, man. This is the Holy Spirit praying for us. This is the Holy Spirit saying, thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your participation in the gospel. And look what he starts with in verse 6. He says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. If that was all the thank you that God gave us for our participation in the gospel, it would be enough. As I say in Ghana, agbina, it would be enough, right? But look, he goes on. I want us to start at verse 9 because this is the prayer that the Spirit of God prays. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. You see, these were loving people as well, right? Do you remember the whole thing? Why are you praying this way, Spirit of God, for these other churches? Faith and love. Faith and love will cause God, the Bible says, to be mindful of us, right? He says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. Now, that scripture there, if you work it out in the Greek, if you deconstruct it and put it together in the Greek, literally it says this. In fact, if you have a study Bible, there might be a little thing in the margin that tells you what this says, and it's very powerful. He says, so that you may distinguish between the things which differ. So this is the Holy Spirit praying. He says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may distinguish between the things which differ. Right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the real thing from the counterfeit. How to tell the genuine from the fake. There's a lot of fakes out there. I used to work for a bank, and something very interesting during our training, you know, when they train, in fact, I think I used to look after 130 branches at one time of Lloyd's Bank in terms of the specialist thing that I was involved in. I wasn't the overall bank manager, but I was the Visa MasterCard like money transmission specialist. If anything went wrong with their system, that was the role that I had to fix it. And I remember speaking to the bank tellers there. One of them was telling me that when they go through their bank teller training, or that this is way back now, this is the early 90s, so it may have changed since. But one of the things they do, I said, how do you tell? I said, there's a lot of tricksters out there. How do you tell a real £10 note from a fake? How do you tell a real 20 or a real 50 from a fake? They said, oh, we can tell instantly. I said, well, how do they do that? What is it that causes you to be able to tell, right? Shall I tell you? Some of you 419s in here, man. I'm skeptical. Oh, no, I'm kidding. This is what they said. They said, we never handle, in our training, we never handle a counterfeit note. Never. They said, we don't know what a counterfeit note looks like, right? And I thought, wow, that's a very, very interesting way of training people. They said, well, you see, what happens is, the moment then one gets passed through the thing, they said, we know. We know straight. Isn't that interesting? So we could say, right, if we backtrack, and I love forensically analyzing the Word of God and just breaking it down, because like the richness that's in it is just something else. It's off the scale. If we go back to that verse number 9 then, he's saying this, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. So love is one of the true constituent parts of a true Christian person. Interesting, isn't it? Let me say that again. Love is one of the constituent parts of every true Christian. It's one of the ingredients. It's like on the £10 notes. It's all changed now since I worked there at the bank, but that there used to be one of the things that they would put in the mix of paper for the £10 notes was silk. So it wasn't just all paper. There was like a mixture of linen and silk and paper and all sorts of stuff that was very hard to put together. You couldn't just put this together in a workshop in Bow in East London. Although Anthony tried. No, I'm kidding. Because why? There's ingredients, there's bits that you can tell, you know, there's watermarks there. You hold it up to a particular light and it's got a certain thing. Then you put it under UV light, it's got a totally different shape. And then you've got this little thread that goes through the thing. Why? These are all constituent parts of a true note, you see? And we can tell by those 5 prayers that the Spirit of God prayed for the church that we went through in the last teaching, you can tell that love is a constituent part of all of these things, right? So we could say this, you know, without love, if you're not showing love for the body of Christ, then I doubt your Christianity. It might be meanity. It might be, crazyanity. There's some people went to church. I couldn't believe it. I went to this church once, and you know, there were a lot of people there who were clearly mentally ill. I mean, I don't mean charismatic, because we get a bit wild sometimes. You know, if you walked in the door, people would say, "Whoa, those people are mad." No, I mean insane, like proper mentally ill, right? And I asked one of them, and I said, "Like, why is your church drawing so many like people of that particular mental problem into the thing?" They said, well, when the pastor stands up and he says that he's heard the voice of God, he said, well, they hear voices too. Except their voice is telling them that person is a witch, bring a knife to the bus stop and stab them. Or that person is, you know, like, you know, push them out in the road, or like tie their laces together, or, you know, mash up their car or something like that. And it was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So I hope you're not here because of that. No, I'm kidding, right? But you get the point. You get that there's a connection here. There's a thread running through all these scriptures. We could say this, if we've got love and we've got faith, then we're on God's mind. And he's saying this, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel, I'm thanking God for you and I'm declaring this over your life. He who begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Man, I tell you, if you're not a giver into the kingdom of God, then I really don't know what your Christianity is based on. That's the honest truth. That's the God's honest truth. There's something about partnering in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ for the establishment of his kingdom of heaven on earth that is just an extra level. And it's so wonderful. Look, he continues. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, or we would say, so that you may distinguish between the things which differ. You'd be able to tell the true from the counterfeit in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Thank God for the ability to discern. Where does it start? Where does the Holy Spirit impart this blessing from? He says, in view of your partnership in the gospel. It's a wonderful thing. There's a whole dimension in Christianity called the prophet's reward. Anyone ever heard of the prophet's reward? There's something about it that God can push you over into a next level dimension because of partnering with prophets. I don't know why prophets. I mean, some of them that I've met are just skanks. I can't put another phrase on it. I mean, just pure skanks, you know? But God, he says, partner them. I mean, some of them don't know one end of the Bible from the other. God says, partner them. I'll never forget. I was wrestling with God. This is a true story now. It only happened weeks ago, right? And I was wrestling with God concerning the international dimension of my ministry. And there's one particular man of God that I've never had much regard for at all in ministry, just because, you know, reputationally, it all looks good on stage and it all looks great and signs and wonders, and God obviously uses his ministry, heals a lot of people through him and gets a lot of people saved and everything like that. But there's something about his ministry that it's like, the only way I can describe it, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. You ever get that feeling about something? It all looks okay, but like something ain't right. And I don't know what it is, and it just, you know. So anyway, I was wrestling with God about going to the nations. I went to sleep, I had a dream. And this guy appeared to me in a dream. Now, he's a very famous man of God. He called me over, and a mutual friend of mine and his, like, you know, was in the dream too. And he says, brother so-and-so tells me that you've got a problem with going to the nations. And I looked at him and I said, that's right, sir. I said, from today, I'm going to fix it. That was in my dream. And I woke up and I got so convicted, because here's a guy who is telling me in my dreams to listen to and obey the voice of God. Man, I repented for judging that guy so quick. I sent him 500 quid offering. He just sent me a book a couple of days ago. Just like I had to just do something, because obviously I had regarded as little something that God then used in my dream to bring conviction to me. Hey, man, I mean, you know, God's got a way of talking to you. He's got a way of getting through to you and just, you know, he knows exactly where to turn the screws. And I repent. I said, Lord God, I'm so sorry. I sent the guy an offering and just like, you know, enjoy, like, just hope it's something towards your ministry, towards your next series of meetings or conferences or something like that. But I learned so much. I learned so much. What am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about deliberately partnering in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be a giver already or not, right? I'm not talking about if you're not a giver, then become one. Absolutely. But some of you who are givers already, you're not adding your faith to your giving. And you see, God answers faith, right? So it's important that we put our faith to work in the area of our giving. Even if all you ever believe God for in your giving is that he who has begun a good work in me will be faithful to complete it in Jesus Christ. Even if you don't get as far as the prayers that the Spirit of God prays as a result. But I tell you something, you know, the Bible says in the end times, it says perilous times will come. If there is ever a time that we need discernment, it's now. We need to be able to tell the true from the counterfeit. And you know what? You know how to do it? Stick around the true. Know the people. The Bible says, know them who diligently labor among you. Know them. It will be so hard. You see, anyone then, can you imagine, right? If this is just a that the only way to describe that what God would do in his ultimate goal is to create a community of love and of fellowship so that the love of God is just oozing out of us. I mean, this is one of the feedbacks we get a lot of the time because we always ask people if we can, you know, it's like, what did you think of Harvest when you first came through the doors? And I say, oh, yeah, you know, the welcome. They say, but everyone's so friendly and everyone is like so genuine. Yes. Now, can you imagine if a counterfeit then comes in? He's going to stick out like a sore thumb, right? It's like, whoop, 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 fake, fake, fake. And thank God, I've only had to throw three, in the history of Harvest Church, right? We started in 1994. In the history of Harvest Church, I've only had to ask three different people to leave. That's because Prempeh does it for me. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding. We've only had to say, look, you know, thank God there's like 2,000 churches in London. We just don't feel that you fit in. Why? The love is missing. There's something, you know, what did Jesus say? He said, by this thing, he says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You can tell it. You can tell it straight away. Thank God for the love sitting beside you. Thank God for the love sitting to your right and to your left. Thank God for the love upstairs ministering to the youth. Thank God for the love ministering to the children. Thank God for the love in the sound box and on the TV crews and on all the workers and volunteers. Thank God for the love that hoovered up all the wet and the mopping up this morning from the flood that they had out the back there. Thank God for the love that keeps us safe with the security team and the ushering team. Thank God for the love that counts the money. And thank God for the love that banks the money and sends out the letters and does all the admin. And just thank God. We celebrate the love that's in this house today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus said by this, he says, all men will know that you are my disciples. But really quickly, put up 1 John 4, verse number 8 up on the screen there, please. 1 John 4, 8. He says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, 1 John 4, verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The next verse, 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. So 1 John 4, verse 8 says that God is love. 1 John 4, verse 16 says that God is love. And verse 17 says, just as he is, so are we in the world. Whatever we expand in 2017, I pray that we expand in our love. I pray that we expand in our faith. And I also pray that we expound in our wealth. There is wealth in the word. You can argue, you can fight with me all you like, but the Bible will fight against you. I will hold my peace, and the word of God itself would fight you. There is wealth in the world. If you look at the distillation, and I'll close here, if you look at the distillation of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and the Bible says that the law was given to us as a guide. It was given to us like the way that a railway track takes a train from beginning to the end journey. The Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster to educate us, right? So that's why we mustn't ever chop the law out, but we must know that we don't live by it, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of it, but that the blessing of the law still abides for us today. Can you say amen? Amen. right? And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, which is a distillation of the law, the first, 15 verses of that scripture talk about the blessing of God. And it's all about you'll prosper, you'll do well, you'll be blessed, you'll be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender to many nations and not the borrower, and so on and so forth he goes. Then from the 15th or 16th verse all the way through until I think it ends at verse number 50-something, it talks about if you do not obey the voice of the Lord and hearken diligently to his voice, he says, you'll be beneath and not above. You'll be the tail and not the head. You'll be the borrower from many nations and not the lender. Or in my experience, I would put it this way. You'll live in N15 and not AL something. I feel like just doing a mic drop and just leaving it there. Stand to your feet and thank God for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for every partner of your gospel in this house this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for those who are laboring diligently in your house for love's sake, for no other reason than for love's sake. Father God, I pray for them right now. I pray, Lord, that their love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that they may always distinguish between the things which differ and be presented blameless, spotless for the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the joys of being a giver. I thank you for the joys of being a lover. But mostly, Lord God, I thank you so much for our year of expansion 2017, that we would expand in love, that we would expand in faith, that we would expand in our partnership, that we would do the things that you have called us to do in this coming year, Father, that we would set goals and targets, love goals, faith goals, giving goals, partnership goals, working goals, whatever it is, Heavenly Father, that we would truly enter 2017 in the way that you have ordained us to do so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.